I speak to you in God's holy name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. The theme of the day today in this season of Lent, where we're looking at applying God's love to our daily lives, to the world, is justice for all. And all means all, not just some. Justice for all. And all the scripture readings this morning point to God standing with the oppressed, and that God loves the people who are on the outside of things, the outcasts, and that God is inclusive and caring and wanting all who in this earth to thrive. That's the message in the Old Testament reading. That's the message in the New Testament reading, and especially from James and the Psalm, but also the reading of the Syrophoenician woman. I want to spend time with the Syrophoenician woman because it's oftentimes a reading that people just gloss over and think, isn't that nice? She was humble towards Jesus and Jesus took pity on her and cleansed her daughter. But there's more going on here, which I'd like to unpack this morning. What we often don't understand is that the Syrophoenician woman was white. She's the only example that I know of a white person being named in the Gospels. Everybody else is brown-skinned. Everybody else is brown-skinned, including Jesus. I have this t-shirt, I almost put it on this morning. Jesus is not white. And I do that because I work at teaching anti-racism, and we get so many people thinking that Jesus is white. Jesus is not, was not white. Jesus was a brown-skinned person. And the Syrophoenician woman was a Gentile. She was a Greek. And she was white. And women were low in the totem pole in Jesus' cultural time. But even lower than that were somebody who was not Jewish. But there was a pecking order of how low you could go. He's doing the limbo. You had the outcasts like the Samaritans. They were sort of just below the Jews because they were like the Jews, only they didn't recognize Jerusalem as being a holy city. They had their own space. So the Jews really looked down on the Samaritans. But then lower than the Samaritans were anybody else. The Arabs who were around at that time. And then you go lower than that and you have the Europeans, the whites, because they had contact with them. When the Greeks came in and plundered the country before the Romans, and the Romans were all around and they were white. But the only one who really interacted with Jesus in a positive way was this Syrophoenician woman. So we think about that as the starting point. Added to that was the fact that we think of God being very sort of direct. We think of Jesus as Lord, God embodied on incarnate on the earth. And here was Jesus saying, I don't want to really do anything to take away energy and goodness from the Jewish people. The children in the gospel really means the Jewish people. The Israelite people, they were his people. And he felt a call to minister to them and their needs. So when she asked, my daughter is sick and I really need you to help her. He was saying, I don't want to waste my energy on people outside of Judaism. And then she showed and demonstrated her faith. And when she demonstrated her faith, Jesus reconsidered and healed her daughter. Now, the interesting thing in that is, and it really speaks to who we are as a community of Christian people living today with an understanding, is that Jesus processed the situation, looked at the immediate needs, moved away from his original thesis of what he was going to do, and rationally said, I have made a mistake in my initial judgment. I am now changing my judgment, and I'm going to heal this woman's daughter because of her own faithfulness, because of her own love that she has for her own child, that she's willing to humble herself here and take my scorn and doesn't back away, doesn't get angry, but she's here faithfully in love for her child, but also trusting me. That's known as a process theology. And this is the idea of theology that we as progressive Anglicans hold dear. That you take the situation, you may have your precepts, but you process what's going on based in the knowledge you have of the situation and balance it with the precepts and come up with a judgment for action. This really scares some people. Because some people want to believe that God knows everything, it's all said in the book, and if you're damned now, no matter what you do, you're damned, baby. Well, that's not God's way. But that's the way that some people want to interpret it. That everything is preordained. It's called predestination. Terrible theology. But it's around. That's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is to bring the principles of love, bring them to bear in the situation you're in, but also consider all the facts and then make a decision for action. And that's the importance of the Syrophoenician story. For here was a very outcasted, how low can you go? I mean, she was basically seen in Jesus' eyes and by the people of their time. It's just hardly any better than a dog. Think about it. And Jesus spent his time and energy and really let everyone know that God loves all of God's creation. That her daughter was healed. So what does that say to us today? Like you live as Anglicans in the world, in the Diocese of New Westminster, and you still have people criticizing and saying, how come you Anglicans do this, that, or the other thing? How come you embrace people who are in a same-sex relationship? How come you even ordain those people and have them in your pulpits? How bad are you? Well, think about the Syrophoenician and the Syrophoenician's daughter. We had an emergent coming to bear in our society that people need to have their voice. And we have to recognize people as people. And we are always involved in taking the issues of the day and looking at it through the lens of the love of Jesus Christ and thinking about where do we stand? And how do we respond to this need? There's going to be more needs coming forward. For instance, one that's apparent is what's called MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying. Who would think about MAID? When I went to seminary, any thought of that would be just verboten. Today we wrestle, there's thought and theology and prayers, thinking about what happens for a person who says, look, I just don't want to be on this earth anymore. My body, I can't take it. And you sit down and have a discussion with the person and they have consciousness and competency and say, I have had enough. What do we as a church do to that? Because in a sense, that's suicide. What do we do with that? How do we wrestle with that? We wrestle with it based on the principles of love. When I was ordained, and in my first parish, no, my second parish in Summerside, PEI, part of the parish had a cemetery with a fence around it That was in St. John's Anglican Church in St. Eleanor's, near where the old airport was, the airport base of Summerside. And we actually had outside the fence where previous clergy had buried people who had suicided. And they were not allowed inside of the fenced-in area of the cemetery, the consecrated part. I had a suicide happen in my parish. And I said, the body will be buried in the cemetery. Well, I can tell you that there was quite a reaction to that. And I said, look, if the person had died with cancer, where would we have put the body? Oh, in the cemetery. And what about if they'd had a car accident? Well, in the cemetery. I said, this person has an illness. It's not normal to want to take your own life. This person shall be buried in the cemetery. Period. And they went higher over my head to try to... And I said, you made me the rector here. That's my choice. That's my decision. And I'm standing by it. It was a hot moment. But we have to stand up for the principles of inclusion and love. And process the needs based on the principles and of love and the teachings and example of Jesus. And that's how it's going to be as we move forward. We have to consider the situation. And that's what process theology is about. It's not hard and fast boundaries, preconceived ideas, but it is the concept and principles of love and love in action that must be applied individually to each given situation. It is challenging, but it's what's known as emergent Christianity. So today, as we receive our sacrament, we must remember that Jesus calls us to love. Jesus calls us to care. That we are the people of a living God, not a dead God with a word that was created 2,000 years ago based on the precepts of the world that they had at that time. But we live with God alive within us and in our midst, and that we are called as Anglicans to be reflective and rational based in the principles that we have received and the teachings we have received, but we must apply it as people living today. And I invite us all, as we interface with the rest of the world, to keep that in mind, that we are the people of love, the people of caring, the people of reconciliation, the people of truth. And that may God bless us as we journey, and may we be strengthened by the presence of the sacrament, the bread and the wine, the real presence of Jesus within us as we journey. May God bless us all. Amen.